The following podcast is intended for mature audiences. The opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of Naked Wizard Media.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for downloading Smashing the Dome, the Under the Dome Hate Watch podcast. I'm your host, Carrie, and I'm joined by Sherry and Kirk. Hi, guys.
Hey.
So today we're going to take a look at The Endless Thirst, directed by Kerry Skoglund and written by Sue Hugh, and it aired July 29th, 2013. So begins the decline. We were kind of disappointed in our last episode because Kirk joined us for the first time. In our previous episode, in the episode of Under the Dome, Blue on Blue was actually not that bad. Now, this one gets nowhere near where it would go. But there were a lot of points in this one that are a sign of things to come. It's just so disappointing because the show has so much potential to have really interesting storylines. Like, you know, the ones that they started. And stuff. Yeah. But, you know, there's no need to keep those going. For instance, the opening of this episode, that wasteland in the immediate aftermath of the missile. That's never going to disappear, is it? Is it?
It should take some time, I would imagine. Some
20 to 30 years, you would
think. No, there's no radiation or anything. It's just burnt it really, really, really bad.
But you wouldn't expect full-grown trees to be
maybe
up there,
a season,
say, in...
No, not
like
trees.
The next episode.
Grass, maybe within, like, 6 months or something.
Yeah.
But
I'm pretty sure it's back next week.
Trees will take some time to grow. Something I want to mention. I'm not sure. I mentioned last episode about Moab and it being after the Russian one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure which one because I've seen another site that said
you have seen conflicting reports.
Yes. So they were built. They're massive and devastating, and that's all you really need.
Big old
to know.
Boom. Yeah. And things die.
Yeah. Worst place to be is in a confined space with one of those things.
Yeah.
Not good. Not good.
I wouldn't imagine.
Specifically designed for that purpose. No more oxygen for you.
No. Hard to live.
Also
without
the heat.
That stuff. Yeah, the heat would not be too nice either.
If you live through that, though, you get to asphyxiate. Mm.
So this episode, right at the beginning of the episode, you kind of get a feel of... It's a hint at the clumsy recaps by the characters. Like little things in dialogue where like the episode starts and they're like, you know, good thing we were hunkered down in the tunnels there underneath when the missile hit, you know, just little things like that you it's in case you missed the last episode.
In case you don't do what everybody else does
and
download it illegally.
In case you missed the recap at the top of the episode where they showed people in the tunnels.
Yeah. Well, see, not every episode has that. And it would eliminate so much bad writing because all they could do is previously on Under the Dome.
Yeah.
And if you don't get it from that,
put there.
And if you don't get it from that, well, then you're a dumb.
Yeah.
Because most of those recaps on things are sufficient to show you what happened before. But this show, no. We have to have characters, especially Joe and Nori, but they're the two most notorious. But Julia has her fair share.
Mainly
Exposition Joe. But a lot of characters have their moments where they have to recap what happened sometimes 5 minutes ago in the episode, too.
Sometimes things that are currently happening on screen.
Yes.
In case you're not sure what you're looking at, this is what we're looking at.
Just in case you're new to Under the Dome and kind of watched it and went, huh, that's kind of not good. And then searched for podcasts about it and you found us and you're watching along with us. This is just a taste.
Yeah.
We were worried, which is why we kind of put a break on the podcast before. I mentioned this before. We were kind of worried that it was going to recover for season two and it was going to be a good show. And then we're like, well, how can you hate watch it now? It's really good. I think season two might actually, on rewatching these, I think season two might actually be worse.
It is.
Than season one, which is mind boggling. But now I have a question.
Yes.
I don't use propane. Kirk, I know you don't use propane. Now, this dome has been down
except
for...
Except for me, barbecue.
Yeah. Now, this dome has been down for, what, 5 or 6 days?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would everybody be running out of propane in, within a week?
And insulin.
And insulin. They have a lot of...
Everybody ran out at the
must
same
be,
time.
Must be a chocolate factory in that town because everybody's diabetic. But, yeah, I was just kind of watching you going, okay, so episode... What is this? Episode 5? 6?
Six.
And the threat of the week is the lack of propane. Already? Would you think that it would be a storyline for kind of down the road a little bit? Like, not immediately? Because, I mean, even by season 2, they're, what, 2 weeks? 2 or 3 weeks under the dome?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And things are happening where you're just like... But it reverses. In season 2, they're like 2 and 3 weeks trapped under this thing, and there's food is replenished... there's no more, apparently no more concern about propane by that point. All of these little incidents from the first season are just, they're just gone. We don't worry about them anymore.
You only have to worry about things for about an hour a week and then.
Yeah. It's like The Simpsons. Just one episode. Not, it just didn't happen. Whatever happened the previous just didn't happen.
I liked Junior's line, to Angie. He goes, didn't you notice I'm a deputy now? Like, what are you, 10? Like, is that a line that really an adult says?
Yeah.
But we all know Junior's...
a little on the wacko side.
At least for season 1.
Yeah. Right?
Now, I gotta get your opinion on this. We have the scene with the delivery truck. First of all, fans will notice that it was King's Appliance as a nod to Stephen King. But... you know, we're trapped under this dome, but you can still get your dryer delivered.
I have it written down. What the hell is this guy doing delivering fucking appliances? Honestly, really?
Everyone needs a dishwasher still.
Does that run on propane? By chance?
And then Joe and Nori, we're told, pull the driver out just in time. I'm looking in the background, and I'm going, well, there's water pouring on it, obviously.
On the truck, yeah.
But... unless his windows were down, pulled him out just in time for what? I didn't see an explosion. I don't see a gas leak. I didn't see any...
Water's not acid. I believe it's not acid.
I didn't see any imminent disaster for the driver of the vehicle.
He would. You see, he's soaked now. You would should have seen him if you would have left him in there. He'd have been drenched.
And he was delivering the last dryer in town. So I mean,
yeah
what happens when your clothes get wet?
Now the poor guy's got to wait outside. Please, a line dry.
Come on, man. Jeez. This is a microclimate. It gets all fucked up.
It's gonna get so humid in here.
Now, Kirk, you're a pretty smart lad. You're down with the sun.
I think so, and
a nice modest guy. it's hard to be humble, hey Kirk.
Yeah.
Because you're down with the science and whatnot.
Down with the science.
But that Doty.
Doty.
That Doty's a smart cookie right there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kirk's I don't know any engineers or nuclear physicists or whatever. So Kirk's pretty much the smartest sciencey guy that I know personally. But if this disaster struck us, I don't think I would rely on Kirk to build machinery that would search for what were, a power source or whatever they were looking for.
Specifically, a power source of the dome.
Yes,
I don't understand how that was working.
Now, what was that? What was that that she made exactly?
That was a she called it a Yagi. It's called a Yagi Uda, actually, because Uda is the dude. It's a Japanese inventor. He did a paper on it in 1926, and it was all in Japanese. What happened is this Uda guy, who was either his student or his colleague, I haven't nailed that down yet, some little conflicting stuff there, decided to spread the word in English, and he presented it in English for the first time, so everybody just thought it was his, or didn't bother to read the footnotes, or unless... I guess, hey, it was probably in Japanese, his name, so.
Mm-hmm. Now, what does it...
didn't bother to read that.
Now, what does it detect?
It's for radio waves.
Radio waves, okay.
Yeah.
Well, she is a radio DJ.
Yes.
Wow.
So, I mean, and she... What did she do before she was... in university or went to MIT or some stupid shit. I don't know. They said in previous episodes that she's smart.
Yeah.
Is what they were trying to say.
Yeah. And anyway, you can build one of those pretty easily. You just need a radio to hook it up to, or better yet, some kind of oscilloscope to measure how much reception you're getting.
You mean
right?
This is plausible that the radio DJ did this?
That machine is plausible. Oh, yeah, totally plausible. You could make that out of stuff you get at home and stuff like that. I'm not sure using measuring tape. I don't know. You'd have to file off the paint and get it to conduct. Yeah. At least the one, because you only one of them you have to run power through. The rest of them are all actually just to help the effect of the charged part of the antenna.
All right. Well,
should look it up. It's pretty cool. But if you haven't seen one of those before, there's a whole bunch of them in the rural places. Anybody who gets TV in over with an antenna, those big antennas outside the house with it. That's the same thing.
I see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm still calling it implausible for the sake of our show.
Well, I'll tell you what's not plausible is the two kids were emitting radio waves. Mm. People don't generally do that.
but the
as
dome.
A rule,
but the dome.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's the answer to everything dome. In the series. Well, but the dome.
The dome wanted them.
The dome
too.
Wants it. That and magnetism.
Anyway,
how do we stop that?
I don't
magnets. Now, there's a line here that Linda says to Barbie. I've been sort of pretty, for the sake of this podcast, kind of observant watching this show. And she questions Barbie about his relationship with Julia. And she says to him, with the sparks I saw or something like that.
Yeah, she saw sparks.
What sparks was she seeing between these two? Honestly.
Barbie said, I'll see you later. And Julia said, okay.
Yeah. And they might have stared.
Wow!
They
might get have a room.
They might have looked at each other for a fraction of a second.
Oh my God! She responded to him. She must want to do him. I know I do. I want to do Barbie. That's what she's thinking. Not me.
Oh, good. Sure.
I think. I honestly think.
I thought this podcast was going to go a different way.
I honestly think if. I just Barbie.
Ethan Kirk still hung up on his name.
Weak.
Now. This week's emergency.
Crisis of the week.
Yeah, the crisis of the week is the water in the town. The water tower is destroyed and the water in the town is
also weak.
No good. And they can't seem to figure out any way of salvaging any water in the town.
Yeah.
I don't know. How much bacteria does boiling take away?
That would fix any of the problems with the rotting fish and whatnot. But you don't have to worry about the methane, really. You can drink the water. There's no concentration.
Just
of
don't
methane.
Smoke while you're doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's fire water.
Don't bring a pail of it and put it in your cleaning closet, okay? Let it sit there for a while. But anyway, usually you're going to find methane in any kind of concentrations in well water because it's deeper down. Mm-hmm. There's more pressure. Okay. Once the water comes to the surface.
But would enough methane to kill all those fish be harmful to them?
No. Don't light a match. Just
fire.
Yeah.
Could they just light a match and throw it on the lake and then burn it off?
Kirk is making
you're cringing.
That could be like Moab on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that, I don't know. I didn't know.
Especially 5 days in, where you don't really know how the environment is reacting to this dome.
Yeah,
you might not want to just go.
Yeah, I'd do it
fires.
Anyway.
you could just end it for everybody and just be like, "This is going to be sweet."
This episode marks the beginning of Big Jim and Ollie's interesting and rather annoying relationship. If you recall, during the Manhunt episode. There seemed to be no problem between these two characters when Jim asked for volunteers to go help hunt down the cop there.
No, he was just...
all good. But then they explained in this episode that one day they were fine, and the next day they're at each other's throats.
Yeah.
Now, I all he does seem nice. He'd like to let the entire population of Chester's Mill die.
Yeah.
Because he has enough water to for the entire town.
I guess so.
That's a big well.
That's some impressive well. That's a well-fed well there right there.
Yeah. Now, I also question in this episode the turn of events that chaos would reign so quickly. I don't know. I know many people. I don't put it past society to turn on each other. It's not that. But we have a water shortage. Well, I have to just kill everyone now. Like, I don't know. It just seemed that it seemed they were making a mountain out of a molehill in this episode.
They could have just taken the water and boiled it and drank it.
Could
have done that. They could have done that.
Yeah, they could have, but that's not what
that would have been for. Okay. Oh no, methane.
I know. And then Sherry and I both laughed at the same scene. I think we might have even written down almost the same thing in the notes when Joe and Nori go looking for insulin. And they're at the one house.
Yeah.
And she's knocking on the door. She's trying to get in. And he goes, "Are you sure a diabetic lives here?" And he's looking around like he could have said.
I'm looking for signs of diabetes around here. And I don't see any syringes laying around or any empty insulin bottles.
This doesn't look like a diabetic house.
Yeah, this doesn't look like a diabetic's house. Like, he could have said that.
To be a little dirtier.
My diabetics are dirty?
I don't know.
But yeah, we both got a chuckle out of that one. This was just a line that it was put in there to tell you where they were.
I see no blood stains anywhere because of the constantly spiking blood sugar levels.
Yeah.
Causing blackouts. This can't be.
There's no Twinkie wrappers. I don't think. Yeah. Now, if you notice, a couple times in this episode, Barbie almost lost it. When he was choking a couple of people.
Yeah.
In this episode, you could see he had kind of almost blacked out for a second.
He has a little bit of PTSD, I think.
So,
I think he has a little Killy McStabby.
Him almost killing someone. That's a plot point that will develop, right?
He loves to kill Americans.
I'm sure.
I don't know
why
people love this guy.
but you know, you just know that that's just a seed for his character that's going to mature and grow throughout the series.
Yes.
To show his inner conflict. Or it could be forgotten by next week. And then another character dies. Rose, we hardly knew you.
Yeah. You know what doomed her? Not the water shortage. She told her. Angie told her that she was locked up.
Mm.
That's what killed her.
That is what killed her. Because the writers wrote it that way.
I like how she had a bat in the diner, but she didn't have a big fucking knife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we don't cut food here. We just pulverize it with a bat.
Yeah.
Just to serve it to you.
Like, there's literally a riot happening outside your door. Arm yourself.
No. I'll just wait till it spills into my establishment. Yeah. Then I'll be concerned. Then I'll think about being concerned.
Yeah.
No, it's out there. They wouldn't come in here. This is my place.
This is my established owner operator.
That's like living in Tornado Alley.
Yeah.
I know they call it Tornado Alley, but I'm really not that concerned. It's all good.
So Sherry brought up a good point while we were watching this. How Ollie is so defiant with Big Jim about the water. Now everybody is fighting each other in the streets at this point. So what would happen if they just kind of all went to someone said, "Hey, Ollie's got enough water for all of us," and then the whole town went to his. What are you gonna do? You might be able to pick off a couple with a rifle or something like that, you know. But pretty sure eventually they're gonna swarm his place and
take what they want.
Well, either that or he's gonna have a lot of dead bodies to burn.
Yeah.
Just throw them in the lake and then light a match.
There you go. Two problems solved at once. Oh, except for the death contamination.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Except for the intense incinerating heat within the dome.
Yeah. Now, this rioting and this violence, guys, this is something, again, I mean, the town can't recover from this, can
it? No, there's no one single thing.
This is
going to
be a plot point.
From made by man or God that could stop this riot.
This is going to be, and this
or
is,
nature.
And this turning of on each other and this violence, this has to be a plot point that's going to spew over and keep going throughout the series, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be
tensions because, oh, you were beating on me.
There's going to be grudges, things like that. Right? Yeah. Any writer worth his salt in Hollywood would keep this going. So, obviously, we have that to look forward to, right?
This is going to be a great show eventually.
When all these plot points start paying off, it's going to be fantastic.
I've read criticism of this show online. A lot of people say it's trying too hard to be Lost. And I think so.
I think they're right.
They just keep bringing up all these points.
Now, Kirk has not watched Lost, correct?
They are Lost.
Yes. Well, you never watched Lost, correct?
No.
No.
It
was good for a while.
Disappointing.
It's disappointing in the end, but it was a very good show for a while. It was one of those shows where
I heard a lot of people saying
you kind of had to watch the next one kind of thing. And that's what they are trying to be that in here.
Especially, and failing miserably.
Especially season two.
Yes.
Now, we have one of the dumbest things I think I've ever seen. First of all, the rain begins. Now, literally, seconds before this rain begins, I'm pretty sure I saw someone with a mace.
People were beating each other unmerciful.
Yeah, unmerciful.
Unmerciful. You're going to die in this fight.
One guy had a morning star. Like, it was terrible. The rain starts, and this is literally, the rain starts, and like the next image you see is people hugging each other.
And high-fiving.
Now, if I had just tuned in, and just saw this riot, and then all of a sudden the rain, I would have been thinking, wow, these people are thirsty.
Exactly.
They are thirsty.
First of all, the miraculous rain was dumb enough right at that moment. But to go within seconds in the same scene of a riot to Woodstock is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen on television.
I don't think the guy that punched me in the eye would be getting a high five.
Maybe not right away anyway. Not right away. Oh, look, it's raining. I love you, man. Like,
you punched me from behind.
Did it rain, Pot? Everybody just calmed right down.
It was the methane.
It must have been
calming everybody down.
I'm anxious to get your opinion, Kirk, on the microclimate explanation. What do you think? Weak?
Yeah. That lake that's inside there would have to be fairly large.
Well, one of my questions was, would a microclimate of that size produce that much rain? Because it was pouring.
I think you're going to get a lot of condensation running down the outside of the dome.
Yeah.
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 Because I'm assuming that there weren't clouds inside. Because no one looked up and said, there's clouds.
Oh, yeah. It was sunny until it started raining. And then all of a sudden it got dark.
Now, the microclimate will come back in this series to play a part. So we have that to look forward to. I had to write down a point here. Rose's killers, his name was Waylon Dundee. There's only three jobs that he could do in his life. Country singer, evangelist, or NASCAR driver. That's it. He can't do anything else.
What about crocodile person?
Oh, maybe. But that would be too obvious.
Then he would be just a cheap ripoff.
I'm a cheap
something.
What's Indiana Jones? He could do.
He's like a relic hunter.
He could relic hunt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Indiana Jones kick his ass.
Yeah, easily.
Just by name. His name would kill him.
Okay, Waylon. Better than you. They call me Indy. Another racing reference. Who is it that says Big Jim will know what to do?
Dodie. Dodie said that in the car with Julia.
With the supernatural dome coming over our town,
yeah.
Big Jim will know exactly what to do.
Yeah.
Who the hell is this guy? Like,
Big Jim.
A lot of small communities usually look to someone in their community as like a leader and stuff like that. But
the used car salesman?
He's a town councilman.
He's a rock. He's a pillar of the community.
But in the case of a mysterious supernatural dome surrounding your entire town, he may be at a loss for words. Just saying, I don't know. He may not have all the answers for that one. And if he did, I'm voting for that guy in the next one, the next election for sure. Oh, and then we have, of course, Kirk.
Sherry.
The greatest love story ever told.
Oh, my God.
We have the kiss in the rain between Julia and Barbie. Remember 2 episodes ago when she was mad at him for being an enforcer coming to look for her husband?
Yeah.
And she wanted him out of her house?
Yeah. It's all good.
It's all good.
It rained.
It's all good. But you know.
The rain washed away all of our problems.
You know that him killing her husband
is going to have an enormous impact.
An enormous impact on the show. Could very well be the main.
Direction changer, even.
It could be the main through story throughout the entire series, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Breaking apart for seasons and seasons, and then eventually maybe coming back together sometime way down the road where she can finally forgive.
Yeah. But of course, we'd have to get all the
viciously
backstory.
Killing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her husband.
I mean, I'm pretty sure my 10-year-old would write that. I'm sure if my 10-year-old watched the series from the beginning to end, right around this point in the series, he probably would lean over to me and go, "Dad, didn't he kill her husband?" Yes, son. Keep quiet. You don't know what you're talking about.
Are they doing it?
But I guess she did get the Dear John letter.
Yeah.
So forgotten about what's
his face. She could totally forget, but the point is, now at this point in the series, she doesn't know that he killed him.
No.
So you just, normally you would think, well, that's going to come out later on at some point, that he killed. As of 2 seasons? It hasn't really come to the forefront of the series. Let's just say that. I mean, you have this series that's developing at this point. What looks like to be the two main things that are going on are Barbie and Julia's relationship with the fact that he killed her husband,
mm-hmm.
and Junior being psychotic and being not too stable. And by the end of season 2,
Junior's a romantic hero.
He's like, he is. What is going on? But
psycho kid to the rescue.
yeah, I don't know.
Just a little better than Super Grover. I don't know. I might pick Super Grover. No, I'll just wait for Super Grover.
Now, this episode wasn't definitely nowhere near the depths that this series will go. And it wasn't, I wouldn't even call this episode terrible, but it was definitely a sign of things. This was the beginning of the decline, where you're watching it and you're going, it was pretty interesting right up until there. Like, you can almost pinpoint this might be it right here.
You know, I'm trying to think, putting myself in Barbie's shoes. I would imagine they'd be high heels. I'm just thinking, you know, I killed this woman's husband.
I am going to go through with this.
You know, I've always had a thing for red hair, and I am going to bang this dead guy's wife. I'm going to bang her.
And it's even just for myself.
Yeah, it's just not for anybody else. It's just for me.
Just to,
not because she needs somebody, just because I'm selfish.
Just so that I can look back on my life and I can go, I did that.
Yeah. You slept with a chick and her daughter. I killed a chick's husband.
And then slept with her. That's pretty good, eh?
Yeah.
Top that. Well, The little nuances in this episode didn't do much to deter viewers. It was watched by 11.41 million people, finishing first in its time slot. So at this point in the series, Under the Dome is a huge hit.
What is it running against?
And it received moderate reviews, according to Wikipedia.
Infomercials.
Something with Ben Stein.
Well, you can't win his money anymore.
No.
Nah, but I like
falling asleep.
I think
with Ben Stein.
I don't know if at this point in the series, viewers are just we're kind of feeling what I was feeling at this point. I'm going to hang on here because it's. I mean, it's a Stephen King thing. It's got to be. It'll turn around. It'll turn around. Or I don't. I know the ratings dropped off in season two. I think people were finally realizing what they had on their hands, but. Yeah,
you know what? People just invested time and they're like, no, no, this is going to pan out. It's going to pan out.
Unless there are 11 million people out there like us that are just watching it for the train wreck.
Oh, my God.
11 million people watched this show. Like, repeatedly. Because this is the second that it matched the previous week's rating. I just don't see. Because even at this point, in our initial viewing, when we were watching it the first time, at this point, even Sherry and I were going, this is getting kind of shitty, isn't it?
This was probably around the time we decided to do the podcast.
Yeah, when we started saying, we need to talk about this one.
This is just not pulling out of the fire. This is outstanding.
That's what I mean. Maybe there are 11 million people out there that are like us and going, it's so bad, I have to watch.
You think that there's a bottom, but it just keeps on.
Yeah, just when you think it can't get any worse, the next week's episode comes around.
Everybody's like, man, this is going to rebound like a rocket. Like a rocket, man. All this time I've put into watching this show, and it is going to pay off. People are going to be talking about season three.
Maybe they're just saving all these plot devices to come back in the third season. No? I hope not. I hope not, because it'll ruin our show. The better this show gets, it's gonna ruin our show. But I have faith now. I was worried after season
faith
one.
Faith in the stupidity of the average American viewing public.
I was worried after the first season. After watching the second season, I have no worries at all that the third season is going to be equally as bad, if not worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I know he has to say it because he can't badmouth it, but. Like, Stephen King just must be banging his head against the wall with this one. I mean, what did they do? What did they... I don't care what he says, because he's praising this show up and down all the time. And,
Does he make any more money if they put another season out?
Oh, I'm sure he does.
He's executive
producer.
He doesn't... This is the guy that sells his short stories for a dollar. Yeah. He doesn't need the cash. The guy could publish his... grocery list. And that'd be his income for a year. But like, I don't know. Because he can't like it. There's just no way he can like this show.
No.
I'm sorry. But of course, I guess when you're the writer of the source material and you have an executive producer credit, you can't really say this sucks.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to pay me an executive producer's wage, I'll love this show too. Yeah. I'll praise it all over Twitter and Facebook. But,
thanks for those wonderful insights, Joe.
Joe. There's not one character on the show that I think... Now, we're going a little bit ahead here from where we are in the at the time of this podcast. Because we're only at episode 6 here. But after watching season 2, I don't think there's anyone on the show that I would look at and go, that's just a really well-written character.
No, absolutely
like, there's
not.
There's no one that's just... They're going... Like, they try to make Nori be the conscience of the audience and stuff like that. They give her all the lines that the audience is supposedly thinking. Except for, I've not heard her say on the show yet, what in the hell is this shit?
Yeah.
But, there's just not good writing on this show at all.
No.
These people are employed in Hollywood.
Yeah.
To write. I think you and I have had better ideas sitting on the crapper.
Yeah.
But we're lazy, so that's why. It's our own fault.
My writing skills are terrible. That's what I'm
gonna Kirk's do. The idea guy. I would have to be the one that would actually write it down. Also, Kirk can't spell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder how much of it is actually the writers and how much is the producers coming. How much
Steven
is this...
Spielberg and Stephen King are the executive producers. Now, executive producers are pretty
hands-off.
It's a loose title. Give me a check.
Like, how much of this is... CBS coming, no, guys, you got to dumb it down. Remember our audience.
Yeah, there, you know what? Yeah.
There must be somebody in an office somewhere in Hollywood going, you know, we can't make this an intelligent show. Mm-hmm. Like,
because it probably just wouldn't work.
It probably just wouldn't work. That's not our demographic.
Unless they were talking to me, of course, that is. Because, of course, I would make the dome, and the dome would be a whole bunch of nanites made of a whole bunch of different things, weaving themselves in such a way that they make themselves into a metamaterial.
Now you know that. Now you know that that ends up being what they are. They listen to this podcast and stole your idea.
Yeah.
Copyright 2014, Kirkster.
You owe me money.
Now, here's a question I want to ask you guys before we wrap up here. I'll start with Sherry. If you were a Hollywood producer or a showrunner or whatever, okay?
Yeah.
And they came to you and they said, here's a novel by Stephen King called Under the Dome. It's about people that are trapped under a dome.
Yeah.
What would you do? Like, you don't have to get specific, but what would you want the series to be about? Like, what if you were to make this show, what would you want to present to people as saying that these are the stories I'm going to go with? This is what this show is going to be about. Would it be the disaster of the week?
No.
Or would it be, like, speaking for me, I would want it to be about the breakdown of the relationships of the people within the dome.
Yeah.
How it's almost like a cabin fever kind of a thing, but it has to be gradual. It can't be in episode six.
Yeah, it can't be someone going crazy this week and then being fine next week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can have all your little subplots and stuff. You could have the romances. You could have the...
No, please no.
Well, every show has to have something happen. But you can have that and it not ruin the show. Kirk, are you in agreement with that? The show would be much better if it was about the people in the town. Yes. Make the cast bigger.
Like, yeah.
Not everybody has to appear in every episode, but because when you read the book, that's what the book is about. The book is a huge cast, and it's about the breakdown, and it's about for instance, in the book, the dome is not porous, so there's oxygen issues. There's if there's a fire, where does the smoke can't escape? They need to come up with things on. Better things than the butterflies are migrating or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
Like
just this week, like, the butterflies are migrating. Like,
put yourself under a glass dome for a while and see how long it takes before you start feeling a little ill.
Yeah.
Like, or obviously, passing out. Obviously a bigger scale because it's a much bigger dome. But things like that, it should be about the breakdown of what's happening, the environmental impact of their environment underneath there. Not just, something's happening, we have magnets, so we fixed it. Or the dome fixed itself. I really have a problem with, again, we're jumping ahead here.
Oh, there's suddenly a microclimate.
Yeah. I have a little bit of I have some problems with jumping ahead here from what we're talking about, but how this show eventually goes to the faith versus science debate, where they have faith in the dome, this is what the dome wants. We've seen that kind of stuff. If you want to have the faith versus science debate, watch Lost.
Yeah.
Because you had Locke and Pretty Boy there. Forget his name now.
Jack,
yeah.
One day science will build a gun big enough to kill God. If he exists.
But only if God allows it to happen. Yeah. Anyway, I think we're all in agreement there that it should be a little less about what they're doing with the and the second season getting was really strange, and I don't know what I the one thing I am looking forward to with season three is I don't know what to expect with where they went, because they kind of backed them, they painted themselves into a corner by the end of season two, and now they gotta, I mean, Lost did too, though. And Lost, they got off the island, some of them did, and you know,
well,
they
Barbie
were able
got
to,
out of the dome too, but then he had to go back,
of course, for the greatest love story in the history of
I gotta bang this dead guy's chick some more.
All right, any more observations about this fine episode of Under the Dome, other than Kirk's logical takes on things?
You can use one of those antennas that I was talking about to listen to satellites if you build it well enough, if they happen to be broadcasting towards Earth using radio signals.
Could you pick up a WoW signal?
Wait now. What was that? That was
a 70 some second long signal from space.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to think of what wavelength it was in.
Oh. I wasn't.
Was that those were radio antennas? You'd probably pick up some of it. You wouldn't pick up the whole depth of the signal. You'd only pick up a certain...
I see. Anything else?
It'd have to be pointed pretty much right at it. It'd have to be very well built.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, I'm pretty good with that.
Okay. Sherry, anything to add?
No.
Oh, yeah. I don't think she built her thing right.
Oh, well.
It wasn't quite the... I didn't get a good close-up look at it.
The eight-year-old science advisor in this series must have missed the boat on that one. You know what we should start doing? We should start rating these episodes, but on an under the dome scale. The under the dome curve, which is more like a 90-degree bend. But if five would be last week's episode.
Yeah.
So if taking that and one would be the drizzling shits. So taking that into account, Sherry, what would you rate this episode? Because it wasn't one of the worst ones that they'll end up doing. On a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being last week's episode or the pilot, what would you rate this one?
I don't know, probably a 4.
That's a sign of how bad this series gets. I think that's hilarious.
I'll give it a 3.5.
3.5? 3.5. I'm gonna go with a 3.5 too. Because there was just enough in there. There were enough moments in there to make me put my tongue into my cheek and go. Oh,
you know what? Really, the best part of this whole episode was the right at the beginning when you could see the wasteland beyond the dome. That was the best. That was awesome.
That will be there in season 2.
You would expect. Unless there's a large gap of time that passes between season 1 and season 2.
But we're told that it's only up to like 3 weeks by the end of season 2.
What was it, like 3/4 of the way through season 2 before they changed it to...
A few weeks ago,
a dome came down instead of 2 weeks ago, dome came down.
Oh, before we go, Sherry, what's our dome in our Chester's Mill count?
Yes, we have 21 domes and 6 Chester's Mills.
I said I was going to do a death count. I better get on that. I'll start it for next one.
You got Rose.
I'll count up all the
dead. You got Rose. That was it, wasn't it?
For deaths?
On screen, I don't know how many people were beaten to death during the riots.
Apparently, they were all okay.
Everybody was all right. So let's think about that now. There were 21 mentions of
the driver. They got him out just in time.
There were 21 mentions of the word dome in this episode. In a 42-minute episode. So that means the word dome was used at least every 2 minutes.
There were a couple of flurries of domes.
There were some packets of dome.
It was a domerific episode.
There were some packets of dome in there.
Classic
for sure.
Dome.
All right. So I guess that's it for...
You could have a clip of Homer saying, dome, 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 dome.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Did you just reference The Simpsons with Under the Dome? You can't do that. You can't do that. Stephen King doesn't like that.
Oh, he doesn't like that.
He doesn't like when people reference those
you know
two
what?
Together.
In my years, I've grown to dislike people, and I enjoy making people dislike me. Dome, 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 dome.
You know what? Normally, I would say that I'd be out, but if I ever see someone ride up the dome on the series in a motorcycle, I'm still going to watch. I'm still going to watch. I don't care. All right. So that's it for this episode. Now, the next episode... We are introduced to a very important plot point. Next episode.
Is it that chick that's been hiding in the closet? Oh, no, okay.
No, the next episode is the debut of the egg. We'll hope you'll join us as we take a look at imperfect circles. Imperfect circles, in other words, egg-shaped stuff.
You know, sort of ovalish.
Ovalish, kind of, but a little thicker on the one end.
No sides per se, except inside and outside, but...
They should have just called it the egg episode.
Non-angular.
All right, so thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us again next time. And until then, for Sherry and for Kirk, take care, and God, just keep watching this show, please.
This has been a Naked Wizard Media production. Executive producer, Carrie Kinney. For more information, visit nakedwizardmedia.com.